The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Well, we've walked through 6 months of Galatians. I want to say a long and winding road, but it actually hasn't been too winding. It's pretty straight. It's the news, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in these final verses, Paul is illustrating the profound and yet the practical implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ by contrasting the lives of those who say they believe in Him and those whose lives are actually impacted by the gospel. You know, there's a lot of people who say they're Christians, and yet the testimony of their walk, their lives, doesn't bear that out. Truth is, the gospel will change you. You can't remain the same. You can't believe the gospel without there being a significant and notable change in the way you do business, the way you live your life. The gospel will mark you. In fact, your life will bear the brand marks of Jesus. It won't be a mystery to the world whom you serve. There were some fellows preaching that the sign of salvation is circumcision. And Paul ends this letter after utterly discounting and discrediting that message by saying, no, the real sign of who you belong to are the brand marks of Jesus. And he says, see with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised. There are three outstanding characteristics that brand the lives of those who are really enemies of the gospel of Christ. And there are three outstanding characteristics of those who have embraced the gospel. The three characteristics that brand the lives of those who are enemies of the gospel is, the first one is they put all their effort into looking good on the outside with no corresponding change on the inside. That is, there's an outward holiness and an inward emptiness. An outward holiness and an inward emptiness. Those who desire, Paul says, to make a good showing in the flesh, try to compel you to be circumcised. The Jews were preaching, you must be circumcised. You've got to have this mark on your flesh in order to be saved. And Paul says, they were doing it to make a good showing in the flesh. They were concerned how they looked to the rest of the religious Jews. For them to boast that they had persuaded Jewish and Gentile Christians to return to the law would give them a high standing. Kudos among the Jewish community in Jerusalem. But the problem is, if all you have is a change on the outside, without a corresponding change on the inside, nothing is different. Maybe you've heard of this story. Back in the 70s, there was a chimpanzee named Nim Chimpsky. And shortly after he was born, as a baby chimp, he was given to a family to raise right alongside their own children. They wanted to see if they could teach him American Sign Language and if he would progress. You see, their worldview was that, well, he's one of our ancestors. And we came from something like him. And so he wanted to see if this thing could evolve. They dressed him like a little boy. He ate with the family. He did family, human family stuff with the rest of the kids. And he was treated in every respect like one of their own children. But after a couple of years, they abandoned the project because, well, little Nim Chimpsky never gave any sign of moving beyond chimphood. They were surprised. At the end of the day, Nim was a chimp, not a boy. And the clothes he wore and the few hand signals that he mastered didn't do anything to change the fact that he was born a chimpanzee. You see, all the stuff on the outside didn't change the stuff on the inside. Outward holiness with inward emptiness. What he needed was a new life. What he needed, he'd never get through those outward changes. That's the first characteristic. The second characteristic of those who are not genuine is that their lives reflect the pursuit of ways to avoid suffering. That is, they avoid the cross and pursue comfort. We sang a few songs on the cross of Christ this morning. And Paul says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. If you take up the cross and follow Jesus, there will be suffering. There will be persecution. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12. The ones who were preaching, you must be circumcised, not only did it to look good to other people, but they did it to avoid suffering, to avoid being persecuted. If you've been following at all the saga of a girl named Sarah in China, who's been a friend and a roommate of one of my daughters for some time, Hillary, you know that this is the biggest stumbling block to her surrender to Christ. The very real fact that her open proclamation of Jesus Christ will bring real persecution and suffering into her life. Her friends will leave her. Her family will disown her. And she's told Hillary, I can't do it. She sees the reality that the cross brings into her life. That's not the case in a lot of places, especially here. Because the cross is not preached as something that's going to bring trouble as well as healing into your life. But rather, it's a message of personal comfort. Things will go better. Life will be sweeter somehow. And you know it is, but the cross means primarily someone had to die. Author and pastor Calvin Miller says that he thinks the most vibrant missionaries he has met are medical doctors serving in the lonely outposts in some Arab worlds. These physicians and nurses are aware that in winning a Muslim to Christ, they condemn their converts to ostracism and persecution and even martyrdom. One doctor said to him, "How do you think I feel in longing to lead people to Christ, knowing that the moment my patients receive Christ, they face a life and death contempt in this culture?" "It must seem pointless," Miller replied. "Pointless?" the doctor said. "This is the point of the gospel. The cost and consequence of receiving Christ is the entire point of take up your cross and follow me." The cross of Christ is a great offense and stumbling block for people who are concerned for their own comfort. You know, we see it in those appeals to people to come to Christ on the basis of what Christ can do for you, how becoming a Christian can enhance your life, how things go better with God. And the result of that kind of gospel is a bankrupt faith and a shipwrecked life when persecution and suffering come into a Christian's life. The mark of those who are not genuine is that they avoid the cross and pursue their own comfort. The third characteristic of those who are not genuine about the gospel is that they boast in what they have done. That is, they look for and cultivate the praise of men. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. See, attitude of look at me, look at my ministry, look how God is blessing me, look what I've done. The cross of Christ is the great stumbling block for those people who are proud, for those who look to men for affirmation, for those who cannot humble themselves before God or before men. The shocking effect of the cross is to strip us naked of all merit and reveal our desperate, our even hellish state and utter dependence on the mercy of God. God's love for us was poured out through the crucified Christ. The cross is where we see what our sin really deserved. It's impossible to raise that flag of pride at the foot of the cross. That's where men jeered at Christ, where they spit on him and reviled him. And for men who like to boast in what they've done, the cross is a scandal and an offense. But correspondingly, there are three outstanding characteristics that brand the lives of those who have embraced the gospel. First of all, their only boast, as opposed to those who boast in themselves, their only boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ. But may it never be, Paul writes, that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which is a very odd statement to make, because boasting in the cross is a lot like bragging about a hanging or raving about electrocution. The cross means someone's going to die. So what is there to boast in? What is there to brag about? Well, the boast is that the cross is a sign of victory. You look at the cross, what does it say? It says he won. It's like the Super Bowl trophy for you football fans in here. Only the team that has won the Super Bowl has the right to boast in the trophy. On the cross, Christ won that supreme victory over sin and death and hell. And in his dying, I died. And in his resurrection, I live. What's not to boast about? What's not to boast about? You know, because of the cross, we're victorious over everything this world and the devil can throw at us. We win. What's not to boast about? The cross declares the victory of Jesus. That's why Paul said, I boast in the cross. That's my brag. That's what I want to talk about. Not about what I've done or who I am, but of what he's done and who he is. Paul told the Corinthians, if I must boast, I will boast boast of the things that show my weakness, in 2 Corinthians 11:30. And nothing shows our weakness like the cross, and nothing shows his power and majesty like the cross. Because of the cross, slaves of the fall are liberated. Satan and his minions are bound. His works are destroyed because of the fall. Sin is demolished. Death is overcome. Because of the fall, the wrath of God has been absorbed from me, and fear has been banished. And because of the fall, or because of the cross of Christ, everyone who believes has been conquered by grace and transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. What's not to boast about in the cross of Christ? If you boast in anything else, it's a vain thing. Only the cross is eternal. Secondly, those who have been conquered by grace do not run away from suffering, but embrace it. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. True followers of Christ understand that something significant and profound has happened at the cross. Something eternal is accomplished through suffering and even dying. Because of the cross, Paul says, the world has come to look to me as the worthless, despised, corrupt thing that it is. And also, he says, the world has been crucified to me, and also I to the world. That is, because of the cross, I'm despised by the world. Don't think that you'll get a ringing affirmation from the world when you take the way of the cross, when you follow Jesus. A man came up to D.L. Moody one day after he had preached a sermon calling people to Christ, and he says, D.L., if I come to Christ, will I have to give up the world? And D.L. says, don't worry about that. If you come to Christ, the world will give you up pretty quickly. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. When Joseph Tun was a pastor in Romania, he was arrested by the secret police for publishing and distributing not only printed material, but tapes of his messages calling for the churches to refuse to submit to the communist government's demand for control over their ministries. And when this official told him he had to renounce his sermon, he said, well, I can't do that. I won't do that. And the official, surprised at this reaction, that he would respond this way, said, don't you know that I have the power to kill you? And I love his reply. He said, Joseph said, sir, let me explain that to you. You see, your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying. You know that my sermons are spread all over the country on tapes. When you kill me, you only sprinkle them with my blood. They will speak 10 times louder after that, because everyone will say, that preacher must have meant it because he sealed it with his blood. So go on. Kill me. When you kill me, I win. How do you fight that? Your supreme weapon is killing. Mine is dying. Those who have been conquered by grace do not run away from suffering, but embrace it. Thirdly, their lives reflect the glory of God, and they run from the adoration of men. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. When Hugh Latimer, 15th century reformer, was preaching one day in the presence of Henry VIII, his journal reports that he had these voices going on in his head. Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say. But the other voice was a little bit louder and said, Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you do not say. And for such unflinching faithfulness, Latimer was eventually burned at the stake. It was one crisp October morning in 1555 when he and Nicholas Ridley were led out of prison toward the stake at which they would be burned for refusing to bow to the edict of an earthly king, but instead bowed to the edict of the heavenly king. And as he approached that stack of tinder dry wood, I love what Hugh turned around to Nicholas to say. Be of good cheer, Ridley. It's like, we won. Be happy about this. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace as I trust shall never be put out. Their lives reflect the glory of God and they run from the adoration of men. And Paul says, and those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Paul says that those whose lives bear these marks, literally walk by the straight edge rule, will be characterized by peace and mercy. It's that peace that comes from knowing you're on the winning side, the kind of peace that defies worldly comprehension and revels in the new mercies of God every morning. And then Paul closes, as we will, with this final word. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Paul's life was characterized by a relentless, unswerving devotion to Christ, and his body, he says, was tattooed with the brand marks of Jesus. He used the word stigmata, which means a mark or a brand or a tattoo. And from the earliest recorded civilizations, even up to today, a brand has been used to mark some sort of ownership of something. It's been used to tell a story and proclaim ownership. One of the things he was saying was that his body was a living, illustrated book in which people could read the gospel of Jesus. Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma, was a man who endured untold hardships trying to reach the unreached for Christ. And for 7 really heartbreaking years, he suffered hunger and sickness, the loss of his wife and child, extreme privation. At one point, he was thrown into Ava prison. And for nearly 2 years, he was subjected to incredible mistreatment by the authorities. His body was bound by 32 pounds of iron shackles. And an iron rod was, or a bamboo rod was placed on his shoulders, and his arms had to go around it. And he bore that for 12, 14 hours a day, shackled to it. But undaunted upon his release, he asked for permission to enter another province of that country to the king who had thrown him there in the first place to preach the gospel. And that godless ruler said this, denied the request, and he said, my people are not fools enough to listen to anything a missionary might say, but I fear they might be impressed by your scars and turn to your Jesus. What is it that people read in us? Do our lives bear the brand marks of the gospel? The other thing Paul was saying was that if you have issues with what I'm preaching, don't talk to me. Take it up with Jesus. I belong to him. The way of the cross always leaves its mark, and it's those marks that identify us as belonging to Jesus. When we see Jesus, we're going to see a cross-scarred man with wounds on his head from the crown of thorns, with holes in his hands and his feet from the nails, with a wound in his side from the spear that pierced him, with stripes on his back, scars from the beating that he was given. And I think when we stand before him, he's not going to look for medals or for degrees or diplomas, but he's going to look for scars. And by those scars, be able to tell that we belong to him. The brand marks of Jesus will identify us as one of his. Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India for 55 years until her death in 1951, once replied to a friend who asked what it was like to serve Christ in missions. It's an incredible reply. Missionary life, she said, is simply a chance to die. A chance to die to the world but live to God. A chance to die to self but live for Christ. A chance to die to all that is fleeting and temporal and corruptible and live for all that is eternal and untarnished and incorruptible. A chance to live at the cross and bear the brand marks of Jesus. One of the poems that Amy wrote goes like this. Hast thou no scar? No hidden scar on foot or side or hand. I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers, spent, leaned me against a tree to die and rent. By ravening wolves that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound, no scar? Yet as a master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far who hath no wound, no scar? Where are the wounds and scars on our lives? Do we bear the brand marks of Jesus? This table represents what Christ did on the cross. And Paul concludes, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He concludes as he began, grace to you. The power of the limitless God to do in us what we can never do in ourselves. And as we come to the table this morning, Joe and the worship team is going to come up. We're going to sing a hymn. Let us examine ourselves to see if we do indeed bear the brand marks of Jesus. Does he reign supreme in our lives? Do we indeed belong to him? Can the story of the cross be read in us? So as we prepare our hearts and minds for the table, I want to remind you that only those who bear the brand marks of Christ can eat and drink of the table he's prepared for us. But he's calling all men to repent and turn to him. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know him, I want to urge you, by the mercies of God, to give your heart to Jesus, to let him reign supreme in your being, to begin bearing the brand marks of Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Your name is excellent, your glory is high, your compassions, they're unfailing, your mercy tender, grace overflowing. We bless you, praise you for the invitation and promises of the gospel, because in them is pardon for rebels like us, liberty for captives, healing for the sick, salvation for the lost. Awaken our hearts to the truth that Christ bore all our anguish so that we might be all joy. He was beaten as an enemy, but that we would be welcomed as friends. He surrendered to hell's worst that we might gain heaven's best. Stripped that we might be clothed in righteous robes. Wounded that we could be healed. He endured darkness that we would have eternal light. May our every breath be highest praise. Our every step buoyed up with joy and delight as we see our enemies crushed, Satan defeated, sin buried in the ocean of redeeming love, as we see hell's gates closed and heaven's portals open. Grant that our lives would not be a shell of outward goodness, but an inward reality of holiness. May we never run from the suffering of the cross, but with joy embrace all its goodness. May we be those whose only boast is in the cross of Christ and bear in our bodies the brand marks of Jesus. May the gospel of Jesus be written large on us so that others might read the wonderful story of grace and be made glad in God, we pray. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.